Blog Talk Radio.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. But the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus.
And when the night is cloudy, there is still a light that shines on me. Wake up to the sound of music. Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight, with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter. who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Journey with Mary. Yes, every week we do examine one of the visits by our Blessed Virgin Mother, the Virgin Mary, who has been with us ever since the beginning, but many people don't realize that. So when she started showing up, people started documenting it and sometimes having evidence and archiving objects and artifacts and proof of her visit. Not just once, twice, three times, four times. Many Catholics think five or six times. Try almost 3,000 times documented. And that's not all of them. There's some that aren't even listed, and I know of several. But it's just an amazing event over all these centuries that she is actually coming to us. And just like the song, "In Times of Sorrow, Mother Mary Comes to Me." How appropriate was that song? And so she's our Heavenly Mother. And it's so important to acknowledge her, recognize her, honor her, that she is there for us. She is the Queen of Heaven. And all these things are so important to understand. Now, if you're sitting out there and you've never heard this show before, you're thinking, boy, bunch of crackpots. Yeah, sure. Well, there's millions of people in the world, and I do mean millions because they visit the shrines and the sites, and they visit by the millions. There are millions and millions of people worldwide who understand that these things are going on. And they do visit the sites where these events have happened. The thing is that they're real. These things are real. They're not fantasy. They're not made up. They're not myth or legend. There's incredible evidence to go along with much of it. And tonight's story is going to have some pretty cool evidence in the way of photographs. Yes, photographs. And we'll get to that in just a bit. But, well, and you might think, well, photographs can be fake. You know, they can be doctored and photoshopped. Well, not in 1968. We didn't even have internet or Photoshop or any kind of computer stuff that could do anything like that back then. And when you have 250,000 witnesses at the same time, it's pretty hard to say it didn't happen. So we'll get into that, but just whetting your appetite for an incredible apparition story that actually spanned 4 years. And I know I'm jumping ahead a little bit there, but we've got more than enough to talk about. So it's this kind of story that we research and we study and we look at the details and we try to learn all that we can and to understand why she appeared there and what the purpose was and what the effect was and how the people reacted and what kind of science was involved. Anything like that we take a look at because it's all important in understanding the event and to see what heaven was trying to tell us. That's right, heaven. Heaven is very aware of everything we do. Every thought, every word, heaven is aware of everything. Don't believe it? Well, you'll see. That time when you check out, you'll see. You'll get the instant replay of everything you did. And the first thought you'll have is, I didn't think you were recording that. But, whoops, your whole life seen again in that life review at death. But, again, I'm digressing. So we study the Virgin Mary. We study her visits. Hey, folks, this wasn't our idea for this to happen. She's the one that started showing up. We didn't even know she was coming. We didn't know, even when she does come, if it's her or not. A lot of times it may be months before we know that it's actually her that people are having experiences with. They don't know. They weren't expecting her. They didn't ask for this. And a lot of times they don't want to be involved even after they are involved. But nevertheless, heaven has its way. And the impact is very evident. Some of the greatest basilicas and churches in the world actually began from an apparition of the Virgin Mary, including the greatest one in America in Washington, D.C. That one was designed from an apparition. So, but so many people don't realize those things, and that's why we bring this information to you. When I became Catholic just 11 years ago, I'd been a Methodist preacher's son for all my life. 11 years ago, I became Catholic, and wow, I learned so much more, understood so much more, and it didn't change anything I already had learned. It just added so much more to my understanding and my faith. And I can never imagine ever going anywhere else now. So these apparitions are part of what I learned and what fired me up to learn even more. So I swore that I wanted to educate those who knew nothing about it. I had no idea I'd be talking to over 200 countries around the world. But thank you for tuning in. Joining me tonight is my co-host, Donald Hartley, one of the founders of Deeper Truth. How are you tonight, Donald?
Well, John, just listening to your monologue, I tell you, you are Deeper Truth all the way. And we are so thankful that you've been with us. This is one of the most outstanding series. And of many people that have returned back to the faith, this is one of the large reasons why. This and the Eucharistic miracles,
right,
and the teaching of faith. That is so important. If you remember today's second reading, it comes from James chapter 1. Beginning with verse 19, know this, my beloved brethren, let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rank growth of wickedness, and receive with meekness and the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who observes his natural face in a mirror, and he observes himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer that forgets, but a doer that acts, he shall be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious, he does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart. This man's religion is vain. Religion pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. And that's a big one right there, and to keep one unstained from the world. And how does that affect with what we're talking about here tonight? That's exactly why Mary is appearing. She's trying to work right on that very point right there, to keep oneself unstained from the world. Think about this, John. The loss of faith that afflicts so many souls is incompatible with a life of adoration, Eucharistic adoration. Souls do not stop adoring because they have lost their faith. They lose their faith because they have stopped adoring. Oh, boy. And so that's what this is all about. Our Lady is all about us, and she's calling us to adore Him, to come follow Him. And that's exactly what it is. John, we have a few people that are standing right here with us. We got Judy, Miss Texas, Miss Deeper Truth Texas. How you doing there, Judy?
Good evening, gentlemen. I'm happy to be with you.
Good evening.
And she's not the only Texan. We have Terry from Texas. How are you doing there, Tex?
Oh, it's awesome Sunday. Every Sunday, every Catholic throughout the whole world should be fired up. You've received Jesus Christ, body, soul, and divinity, and I mean, there's, you know, Sunday is the greatest day in the whole world.
Amen.
It is. It is. We got John the Virginian. How you doing there, John?
I'm doing good. You know, this is one of those ones, you know, there were about maybe 10 or 15 apparitions of Mary that I knew quite a bit about. And then there were probably another 10 or 15 that I heard about but wanted more information. And this one falls in that second category. This is one that I was familiar with by name, knew a couple of little facts about it, but wanted to know more about it. So it's really timely that he's visiting this particular one tonight, because it's something that's piqued my interest for some time.
You're in for a treat tonight. Amen. Yeah. See, great minds think alike there, John. And we got Mike from New Jersey. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fantastic. Looking forward to where we're going.
Yep.
All right.
Yes, that's a. Everybody, get your suitcases out and unpack, because we are here, and we're probably going to be here for a number of weeks. Go there, John.
And before
you got it, brother.
Well, before we go get going, let's see what poem Judy brought for us, because we always like to start with her dictation she took from God.
Well, I have two poems tonight, if there's time.
We'll do one first. Pick yours.
Okay. Both of these I chose because of what's going on right now with Afghanistan. And this first one, the Lord sent to me in 2019, and I had entitled it Heaven's Angels. Sound the trumpet. Sound the horn. Mark the start of spring. Heaven's angels singing out as the church bells ring. Hear the beat of marching feet. Off to war we go. Heaven's angels crying out as we face the foe. Hear the echo of the guns, battles, blood, and more. Heaven's angels sobbing now at the grisly score. Now a silence loud and clear covers all the land. Heaven's angels weeping o'er a world that once was grand. Summer settles into fall. Winter comes too soon. Heaven's angels gasping as they gaze upon the moon. Quiet now, the battle done. One more tale to tell. Heaven's angels bow their heads at the tolling of the bell.
Wow.
The tolling of the bell.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Judy.
Beautiful.
And so now we are headed to Zeitoun, Egypt. That's Zeitoun. It's actually a suburb of Cairo, so that should help you place it. And it's in the years 1968 through 1971. So it's actually 4 years. And she was known as Our Lady of Light. All right. So the visions occurred at the Coptic Orthodox Church of St. Mary in Zeitoun, a busy Cairo suburb which lies close to the road taken by the Holy Family during their flight into Egypt. It is interesting to note that the land in which the church stands originally belonged to a family of devout Copts named Khalil. In 1920, one of the family was about to build on it when a Blessed Virgin appeared to him in a dream and told him to build a Coptic church in her honor on the site, and that in 50 years, she would bless it in a special way. So that was 1920. You add 50 years, it'd be 1970. And 50 years later, Mary was indeed appearing to thousands over this church. Started in 68, ended in 71. So she was definitely there blessing the church in a special way 50 years later. Now, who would remember that? Nobody would remember that back in 1920 that she said that and be looking forward to that 50 years later. They just thought, oh, that's nice. But, you know, she keeps her word. She predicted her own appearance, and there she was. All right, so let's tell you how this started. First of all, relations between the Coptic Orthodox Church and Rome, already closer in 1968, were further enhanced by the return of the major part of St. Mark's relics by Pope Paul VI from Venice to Egypt early in that year. This act of fraternal charity seems to have set the stage for the extraordinary visions of Mary in the following month. And what most people don't realize is the Virgin Mary first appeared privately to the priest of St. Mary's Church, Father Constantine Moussa. On one evening, she appeared in the church on the steps by the altar. When she spoke to the priest, he fainted and fell to the floor. Good start. being a humble man who did not wish to draw any attention to himself, he did not reveal this visitation until just before he died in 1984. He revealed to the chairman of the papal committee that the Virgin Mary had described the nature of her impending visit with him and had told him, quote, be ready. Little did he know that millions would be coming to his church to see her. So she tried to let him know. You know, personally, I think he didn't want to talk about it because he didn't want to admit he fainted and fell to the floor when she showed up. What do you guys think of that?
I think I would. I don't know. She appeared to me right now, which I'm seeing a statue of her right now, and it's so beautiful. But I tell you, I don't know. You never know until it happens. This thing about St. Mark, though, you know, Mark, he would be the founder of the church in Egypt, and Alexandria about the year 50 A.D., just after the Council of Jerusalem in 49 A.D. St. Peter would be setting up the church in Babylon, modern-day Iraq, before going to Rome, which he would actually be there. St. Peter installs St. Mark as the first bishop of Alexandria, and it is sometime between 68 and 74 A.D. when St. Mark would receive martyrdom by the pagans of Serapis, who followed the false gods of Serapion Attis, or Abbas, A-B-B-I-S, Greek-Egyptian, who tied a rope to his neck, attaching him to a horse's tail, which dragged him through the streets of Alexandria for nearly two whole days before he was torn to pieces. And St. Mark's symbol as a gospel writer is a lion with wings. Mark 1, verse 3. Begins the story of St. John the Baptist, a voice crying out in the wilderness like the roaring lion. And Jesus is the Lion of Judah, the focus of St. John's preaching. But anyway, I just thought that was interesting because, you know, in the Eastern Church, you have a number of these. They're Catholic, but, you know, the Coptic, you have a lot of different cultures.
Like Greek Orthodox.
Well, no, Greek Orthodox would not be Catholic. They are in schism, the Greek Orthodox. So you can't confuse the Greek Orthodox with, like, say, the Coptic, for example. The Coptic, and there's about 26 different various rites. Like, we're in the Latin rite here. The Roman rite is the Latin rite. But all of these rites all belong under the authority of the Holy Father, the Pope. And St. Mark, of course, was under Peter. So, you know, the Coptics, all of these different rites all fall under the Bishop of Rome. So I think, but the Greek Orthodox that you mentioned went schismatic in 1054. And since then,
all right.
There's been times when they've been working to reunite, but hasn't happened yet. We're waiting on it.
I have a question.
All right. Yes.
Why is it called Coptic? What is the meaning of the word? Does anyone know?
You gonna look it up?
Yeah. The meaning of the Coptic. I guess it's a. Okay. In fact, let's look at this.
The word Coptic comes from a Greek.
Okay, go for it, there, John.
It has to do with the language of the ancient Egyptians. It's a language of the Copts, which represent Copts, which is C-O-P-T-S, which represents the final stage of ancient Egyptian, and now survives as the only liturgical language of the Coptic Church. So it's a dialect of the ancient Egyptian language.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, great. I knew our team could handle that. All right. So here's how it all started. After the priest had his private visit from Mary, on Tuesday, April 2nd, 1968, I can almost remember that day, at 8:30 p.m., two Muslim workmen standing at the gate to their work garage, mechanics, you know, across from the church, were startled by the appearance of a lady in white kneeling beside the cross at the top of the church's dome. Now, that's the very, very top, you know, right up there. And one of the workmen, Farouk Muhammad Atwa, pointed his bandaged finger toward the lady, fearing that it might be a nun about to commit suicide, and yelled out, "Lady, don't jump! Don't jump!" Feeling a sense of desperation, he dashed off to call the fire brigade and the rescue squad, while others ran across the street to summon the priest, Father Constantine. At that moment, the lady rose to her feet, revealing herself as a luminous being dressed in shimmering robes of light. One woman cried out, "Our Lady Mary!" At that moment, a flight of glowing white doves appeared from nowhere and hovered around the apparition. Then everything faded away into the dark sky, leaving spectators below speechless. Now, Farouk Atwa's bandaged finger was full of gangrene and due to be amputated the very next day. But when he arrived at the hospital the next morning, the surgeon was astonished to find his finger completely healed, the first recorded miraculous healing in Zaytun. You know, it's because he cared. He told her, "Don't jump, don't, lady, don't jump." And for that, heaven healed his finger that he pointed at her. So that's pretty cool to start with. And, hey, you guys, when did you last hear of birds that glow in the dark? They don't. But this is a bunch of white doves that glow in the
maybe
dark.
Maybe birds around Chernobyl, maybe, but that would be about it.
There you go. Good answer. And we actually have photos of those glowing birds. And you'll hear descriptions of them that we're just getting started. This is the very first incident. But exactly a week later, there was another apparition, then another, and another in rapid succession. They always took place at night and were generally preceded by mysterious lights flashing silently over the church, like a canopy of shooting stars or a shower of diamonds made of light. Minutes later, formations of luminous doves would appear and fly around the flood-lit church. Eyewitnesses described them as, quote, strange bird-like creatures made of light, which flew with, quote, astonishing swiftness without moving their wings. They always maintained a definite formation, and they would disappear, quote, like melting snowflakes, unquote. Shortly after that, a blinding explosion of light would engulf the church roof. As it diminished, it would shape itself into the brilliant form of Our Lady. She would be seen in a long white robe and a veil of bluish-white light. The stunned spectators below could see her garments blowing in the warm night breeze. A dazzling halo shone around her head. Her radiance was so intense, quote, like the sun in human form. What is that? A woman adorned with the sun?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
And then it was almost impossible to discern her features because she was so bright, and we've heard that in many apparitions. The vision would glide with effortless ease across the domes, bowing and greeting the amazed crowds below. Occasionally, she would appear above or between the palm trees in the church courtyard, or emerge in a globe of light from either one of the four corner domes or other structures. Sometimes, she would be seen with the infant Jesus cradled in her arms, or with Saint Joseph and the Christ child at about age 12. A dazzling crown of light sometimes shone above her head, giving an impression of unearthly and sublime majesty. News of these apparitions spread like fire across Egypt, attracting multitudes of Christians, Jews, Muslims, and other religions, and even disbelievers and atheists. Within a few weeks, the crowds reached an estimated 250,000 people, quarter of a million people, every night. Remember, Fatima was 70 to 100,000? This is 250 every night. These differing religions had all come together, praying together, singing together, in praise to Blessed Mary. She would acknowledge the massive crowds below, waving at them, holding out an olive branch, which would generate an ecstatic cheer from the masses. All right, I'm going to stop there for a second. A lot of great imagery, and we're going to hear a lot of great descriptions as we go on. But what an amazing, breathtaking event, huh?
Well, I think of this. The New Testament verses, you know, think about this. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And then Jesus all again spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. This is what exactly we're seeing is the glory of God that Our Lady is showing forth in all of these apparitions of Our Lady. It's because she is with Our Lady, or she is with our Lord, and that glory from heaven. Terry, what do you think about that?
I'm in awe, brother. Just listening in. This is really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I have another
absolutely
question.
Go ahead there, Judy.
John, you said that the Blessed Mother was holding out an olive branch?
Yeah.
Okay. Isn't that a symbol of peace?
Yes.
Because I've heard the expression, you know, let's hold out an olive branch, and meaning trying
mm-hmm.
to create peace between people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think
absolutely.
That's exactly what – that's a good point there, Judy. And that's point one, I think, to foster peace. But Our Lady has an interior motive here, too, and that is to promote her son. Anywhere that Our Lady goes, she's going to promote her son. And so what does that
mm-hmm.
do? That calls for people's conversion to the Catholic faith. No question about that. But before you get to that point, I guess you got to foster peace when you have so many different groups out there that are observing this. So that's,
oh,
that's
yeah.
You know, I think it's important. What do you think about this, Mike?
Well, I'm also one of the things I do with these apparitions is I try to put them in some kind of historical context as to what was going on in other parts of the world when this apparition was taking place. There were two notable murders in the United States. One of them was Dr. Martin Luther King. The other was Senator Robert Kennedy.
Hmm.
Senator Ted Kennedy was running for president in 1968, and it was about the time he had that famous auto accident in which it resulted in the death of Mary Jo Kopechne. So there was plenty of reason for tears and olive branches.
Yeah.
Just in a,
yeah,
when you just take into consideration our own country.
Interesting that you bring that up, Mike, because I was just reading today that Sirhan Sirhan got parole for the assassination of Bobby Kennedy.
It's no guarantee that he'll be paroled. It's just that the parole board recommended it. I heard about that, too.
Yeah, they have a three-month review or something before he actually gets released. So
well,
he says
he doesn't recall the shooting. He doesn't recall the incident at all.
Yeah, he never did.
If the thing about Robert Kennedy, when he was shot, he reached into his pocket and pulled out a rosary. You could actually see that because it was televised at the shooting. When he got shot, he reached in there and pulled out that rosary. And to me, that's just so important. That's powerful right there.
Yeah,
It is possible. That's two people that I know who died with their rosary in their hand. So it's a very special thing to me too.
Yeah.
And that's also the eight was with the riots, where they're chanting, "The whole world is watching. The whole world is watching."
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the 68.
That was Chicago, wasn't it?
Chicago. Yeah.
Yep. So all that was going on.
And it was.
Yeah.
And also, you had what it was happening. You also had the New York Jets won the Super Bowl that year with Joe Namath. So that was a big thing.
And you know what Joe Namath is doing today, don't you?
Yeah.
He's doing all these commercials for Medicare.
Yeah. All right. So,
John,
so
before you continue.
Yeah.
Before you continue, I had something I wanted to interject. You brought up that this happened near the road that Mary and Joseph traveled when they on the flight to Egypt, interesting that you brought that up because, you know, I've read, you know, a great many books this year. And one of the books that I read was The Visions of Catherine Emmerich. And she describes a bunch of a number of miracles that actually occurred during that flight to Egypt along that road. One of them where Mary prayed, and then they were suddenly surrounded by all these wild animals. And at first they were afraid, and then they realized the wild animals were friendly and were leading in the direction that they were to go. But the most notable miracle that I think is the most notable miracle I think that's really interesting is that there was no water where they were at. And again, Mary prayed. And listen to this. A miraculous spring sprung up from the ground. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
And that happened in this somewhere near the area that you're describing where these apparitions took place. I thought that's a very interesting footnote.
Yeah. In fact, I'll add that there were several other apparitions in Egypt, and all of them had to do with locations where the Holy Family had been. So,
wow.
This was by design, without any doubt.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
My cousin was a little confused by the reading about the woman crowned with 12 stars and then fleeing into the desert. He couldn't understand exactly how that fit the Blessed Mother. He knew that the woman crowned with 12 stars was about the Blessed Mother, and I said, yeah, and it's also a reference to the church. Then he said, when did she flee into the desert? And I said, well, remember the Holy Family fled into Egypt, and that's
right.
That's a lot of desert there. So I don't know. Did I answer that correctly, Donald?
Yes, I would say so.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you did. And Jesus
okay.
would stay there. He would stay there until the danger passed, and that fulfilled another Old Testament scripture, which would say that he was called out of Egypt. He called his son out of Egypt. And so,
and the danger,
yeah.
and the danger ended with the death of Herod the Great, which we know historically happened sometime around the 10th of January, 1 BC, because that is that coincides with an eclipse. The historian Josephus said that it coincided with an eclipse, and that eclipse occurred 12 weeks of Passover, which was January 10th,
Passover.
1 BC, so that's approximately when Herod the Great died.
So, yeah, in between that Passover and that eclipse. That's exactly right.
Yep.
Don?
Yes.
Might interject here. I'm getting a report that all of New Orleans, including Orleans Parish, is without power. That's according to the electric utility that supplies power to that area. That's
coming
over.
Yeah, we're trying to keep an eye on that too there.
Okay.
Good point there, Mike.
Yes.
All right.
I need to pray for them.
Yes, please pray. My cousins all live in Louisiana. They're all pretty much smack dab in the path of that storm. They're either in the St. Bernard Parish or in the Baton Rouge area.
So, well,
John,
so
you know,
the good news. Yeah,
John,
the good news to this so far is that they none of the none of the barriers had broken through. So to me, that's a huge thing. That's what happened to us with Katrina. That's what was so bad about Katrina.
Right.
I was
go
just going to say it might be a good idea for John to go ahead and lead us in a Hail Mary right now for that intention, for the safety of the people in the in the path of that storm.
I can do that. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And God bless all those people in the path, and may they survive and know God. All right. Well, our story is going to take a couple of weeks here, so don't worry, we're not going to rush. But I wanted to add something, because you think, well, shoot, with 250,000 people seeing her every night, you would think that word would have gotten around to America or Rome. Well, it did reach Rome, but you have to understand, in the Coptic faith, Roman Catholic Pope cannot comment on what's going on in the Coptic world. The Coptics, on the other hand, cannot comment on things like Fatima. Don't ask me where those rules come from, but that is my understanding from my reading. And so, therefore, unless you knew somebody in Egypt or were American over there or had some kind of connection, you would not know about this. It was not in the news like you would hope it would be. There was I think on page 36 of the New York Times, there was a paragraph about people thinking they saw them Virgin Mary over a church in Egypt. Well, of course, you know, you're going to go, yeah, right. So the details didn't come out. The story wasn't there. And we'll talk more about that as we go on. But I just want people to understand that it wasn't suppressed or hidden from us. It just wasn't naturally reported or commented on. And I will say this, Pope Paul VI went down there and saw photos. These photos of Mary, I've got a picture of him looking at the photos, and he was well aware of what was going on and quite interested. And we'll talk more about that as we go on. We've got a lot of good stuff here.
Hey, John, if I could if I could interject one thing real quick, just in support of what you're saying, interesting that you bring this up, because there's reports that there are miracles associated with the 21 Coptic martyrs who were killed a few years back. They were beheaded on that beach, and the Catholic Church is kind of not wanting to comment about it or refraining from commenting on it about it. So that kind of supports what you're saying.
Exactly. And like I said, I don't know who makes up the rules, but we don't hear about it in the case of when it's in the Coptic jurisdiction or district, whatever you want to call it. All right, so occasionally people would also see billowing red clouds of incense-smelling smoke rising around the vision of Mary. The clouds sometimes poured from sealed stained glass windows in the domes. And someone said, quote, it would take a million censers to produce that much incense. A million censers to produce that much smoke. And how does it pour from sealed stained glass windows? Well, heaven can do anything. Trust me. They can do anything. Mm-hmm. Oh, and I also wanted to comment real quick that last week we had that apparition in Lithuania where Ramut McVeit, the young girl, was told by Mary that she would next be in Egypt with her angels. And that's what I think is glowing in the dark, looking like doves. Just a comment, and you can think about that as we go on. In the early hours of April 13th, Wajish Rishkmata, a photographer, professional photographer, succeeded in finally photographing the vision for the first time. He said he overcame an inexplicable sensation of immobility, kind of like a ecstatic trance state, but he overcame it because it was preventing the vast majority of people from operating their cameras. But he was allowed to take pictures, and I do say he was allowed to take pictures, because then he became aware of being completely healed from an old injury to his arm. Doctors later confirmed his miraculous healing. And that's interesting. You might think, well, gosh, for all those millions of people, there should have been millions of photographs. No, they were all in this ecstatic state, mesmerized and in trance. And this professional worked real hard to overcome that and to snap a few pictures. So, And by the way, you can see all these pictures on my website, divinemysteries.info. Click on the apparition picture, go to the table of contents, which is organized by continents and then countries. So go to Africa, then go to Egypt, and then click on Zaytun, and you'll get the whole story with all the photos, including of the glowing doves. So you can see all of that. All right.
You can see some of that as you're listening to the show right now, actually, because I put some of those pictures with the show.
Great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Now, apparitions might last a few minutes or as long as 9 hours, like from 8 o'clock at night till 5 a.m. And that happened on May 4th and 5th and again on June 8th and 9th, 1968. Long enough for people to run home, grab their families, get some lawn chairs, and come back. I mean, That's a long time. I mean, think about that. Hey, the Virgin Mary's appearing down over the church. Get the neighbors, get your family, grab some chairs. Let's go watch. And you would have time to do all that and get back because she's there from 8 o'clock at night till 5 a.m. She did that on several nights. So anyway, what an amazing series of events. And we're just starting here, folks. The Coptic Pope, and I do say a Coptic Pope does exist. I've seen a picture of him greeting Pope John Paul II, two popes embracing. And so the Coptic Pope personally sent Bishop Athanasius to make a detailed investigation. And then the bishop had his own experience. And this is his quote. "Suddenly, there she was, standing in full figure. Crowd was tremendous. It was too difficult to move among the people. But I worked my way to in front of the figure. There she was, 5 or 6 meters above the dome, high in the sky, full figure like a phosphorescent statue, but not stiff like a statue. There was movement of the body and clothing. Our Lady looked to the north. She waved her hand. She blessed the people, sometimes in the direction where we stood. Her garments swayed in the wind. She was quiet and full of glory. It was something really supernatural, very, very heavenly. Some people were reciting verses from the Quran. Some were praying in Greek. Others were singing Coptic hymns. I tried to distinguish the face and features. There was something about the eyes and the mouth I could see. Oh, and then the apparition slowly faded away." Isn't that a cool quote by a bishop that the Pope sent?
I think that is it. And by the way, people may be kind of curious about that. In the early church, it wasn't, the word Pope actually means Holy Father. And by 506 with Gregory the Great, it kind of centralized into the Church of Rome, the Bishop of Rome, the Pope. But some of these rites, like the Coptic, for example, they still maintain that title to the successor of St. Mark. That's what we're talking about here. And so that is not in any way, shape, or form trying to say, well, see, the Catholic Church is divided and there's more than one Catholic Church. No, it's all one Catholic Church. It's just that we have different rites. And that's a different from different denominations, big time. The rites are just
very
simply
good.
By culture and by place. Go ahead there, Judy.
Good.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because that was going to be my next question. I was getting a little bit confused there. How can there be, you know, how can we say that they're in, what's the word, in alliance or in accordance with Rome, and yet in communion with Rome, and yet have their own pope? That had me
a little
confused.
He's an archbishop. That's what he really amounts to be.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Right.
All right.
And I'm glad we addressed that, because I knew that would come up.
Look at all the wonderful stuff we learn from this show.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
Absolutely. Well, here's another.
And all of the bishops can trace their succession back to the 12 apostles.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All of them.
That's what's important. That's apostolic succession. That's exactly.
Yeah,
and we know that St. Mark was totally united with St. Peter. I mean, there wasn't no disunity between the two. In fact, St. Peter thought of St. Mark as his son. They were very close in Jerusalem, in fact. So I'm just saying
Don, wasn't St. Mark's gospel a collection of the memories of St. Peter? Didn't they collaborate on that?
Well, in fact, St. Mark's gospel was admitted as a result of the authority of Peter.
Right.
So I think that's
his name was actually John Mark, but I guess there happened another John. You had John the Baptist, you had John the Evangelist. They're like, we don't need another John here. He went by Mark. And,
yeah.
But it was written, as Donald said, at the commissioning of St. Peter. St. Peter commissioned him to write it.
In fact, St. Mark's mother, Mary, St. Mark, if you remember the story when Peter was put in jail, and the angels got him away, you know, saved him from that martyrdom, and the angels took him out even though he was under guard. Well, where did Peter
right.
go? He went to St. Mark's house,
yep.
his mother Mary's house. And guess who opened
yeah,
the
that's right.
at the door? Rhonda. Rhonda came out there, and Peter was saying, "Open the door for me," you know. And she went back in there and told everyone, "Hey, Peter's at the door." And Peter's out there standing out there at the door saying, "Help me, Rhonda. Help, help
I
me,
knew
Rhonda."
It.
Remember that?
I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I saw that coming.
They weren't
saw that coming.
John,
they weren't,
John,
they weren't,
John, you
got to
help
too,
us.
You
got to
do
something,
far
John.
From the beach, and all the boys were singing. Yeah, I get
well,
it.
You got to help us, John.
If I were running this,
you got to put a stop
if
to
I were running this.
Help me, Ron.
If I were running this studio, if I were
true
running
story,
the
though.
Studio, there would be a mute button right now. But
that's
I'm
a
not.
True story. That
all
is
right.
a true
hey,
story.
Guys.
That,
okay, enough of your stories. Okay, so let me finish this last bit of the bishop because he had another experience, and then we'll call it a night and continue next week. But on another night, this same bishop, again sent by the Coptic Pope, Athanasius, attempted to approach the apparition of Mary from inside the church. He was going to sneak up there and sneak up behind her. He locked all the doors, turned off all the lights, and headed toward the roof. He had just seen her full figure on the roof when he had been outside just minutes before. As he approached the ladder to the roof from the second floor, he had an inexplicable experience. He started shaking uncontrollably. In fact, the ladder that he was on was also shaking hard. He felt frozen in his tracks, unable to move, and sensing that something unusual was very, very close by. And people outside were cheering that they could see her. So he retreated back down and back outside to see that she was standing just 3 feet from where he had been. So he was just on the other side of the wall, but she was 3 feet away from him on the other side. And something, like from heaven, just put up this wall that he could not get past. But I thought that was interesting. He tried. anyway,
that
so
is
we'll
amazing.
Stop there tonight. Yeah. A lot of this good information came from a book by Pearl Zaki, Z-A-K-I. She's an American from Minneapolis, and she traveled to Cairo and saw these things for herself. And while she was there, she gathered tons of reports and eyewitness accounts, and she put out the only book on it published in America, and that's what I have that really brings so much of this detail to us. That's our fortune when we had somebody like that that would do that and bring all that great information home to us, along with pictures and stuff that was published over there. All right, so next week we will continue with this amazing series of apparitions and much, much more about what all happened and some other private incidents as well that are very lesser known. So much, much more to cover. And as always, we want to include Judy's second poem before we go to our rosary, which we are not a rosary, but a Hail Mary. We'll say again before the end of the program. But Judy, go ahead with your second poem before we close out.
Okay. Now, this one is from 2014, and it, too, is about war. And I entitled it Battle Scarred. Off, I'm sorry. Off to battle, they bravely marched, greeted by songs and cheers. It didn't take long for the terror to change the songs to myriad tears. Through the fray, they carried on, facing the enemy guns. To a man, though death surround, not a one would run. Weary now the battle's o'er, trudging through their grief, recalling friends whose eyes are closed, lives so sweet, so brief. Living lives with families who must not see the pain for speaking. I'm sorry, I lost my spot there for a minute. For speaking of those days gone by brings back the shock again. So smile, be brave, as you were then, more battles to be won. As children grow and loved ones leave, salute your valiant sons, who now will face the terror of the killing fields today, returning some in boxes closed, lost in the battle's fray. Aged all, those who remain drink toast to absent friends and pray the day will soon be here when battles see their end.
Wow.
And I say
yeah,
amen
reminds me
to
of
that one.
Yeah. I remember the 13 Marines and one hospital corpsman, Navy corpsman, that just died a few days ago because that suicide bomber. And I guess that's a fast way to hell. Oh, that's a horrible thing. That's a horrible thing.
Yeah.
Almost 90 Afghans were either killed or wounded. That's unbelievable.
That.
Yeah, now it is.
It was
yeah.
Now over 100. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We will continue this wonderful story next week. Please tell your friends. You know, bring them back to listen, and they can always hear the first show in the archives. Donald, tell them how they can reach the archives.
Well, actually, for me, what's easy is simply going to Deeper Truth Radio, and you can see those. John, you actually have it set up so it's easy where they're all together, right?
I've got to put the I've got to update that, but the easiest way, like you said, is to go to blogtalkradio.com/deeper-truth. Donald's right. We do have a separate website cataloging some of the greatest shows, but it's got to be updated. There's got to be some more shows added to it.
Okay. All right. And sometimes what I do, I'll just Google Deeper Truth Blog Talk Radio Journey with Mary and today's date or the date of the show, and it comes right up. So, there's a number of ways. All right, so before we close out, we'd like to ask the world out there, some 200 countries that tune in, we would like to ask you, keep praying for the people in the path of the hurricane and all the other prayers asked for during this show. And also, as we say this Hail Mary, all of our voices will rise up in unison and heaven shall smile. So join with me now. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. God bless every one of you who tuned in tonight. Hopefully it was educational, interesting, hopefully fascinating. But in any case, you weren't doing other boring things. So thank you for joining us and being part of our world for 1 hour, and we hope that you'll come back next week and bring a friend, because this is only going to get better. There's so much good stuff yet to talk about with this series. All right, gang, that's it from me.
All right, well, God bless you guys. Everybody have a good night. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
All right.
Good night.
Night.
What is yours, do not
Thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show, an in-depth examination of the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host has been John Carpenter, an expert on more than 90 confirmed apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Be sure to join us again as we examine another Marian apparition in depth, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.